back to the last time you went swimming? Did you ever have a contest with someone else in the pool to see which one of you could hold your breath longer underwater? Think back to exactly what you did. You took a deep breath as big as you could hold, then you submerged yourself and tried to remain calm. After about 10 or 15 seconds, you started to feel a lot of pressure in your lungs. It wasn't so much that you wanted to breathe in, it was more that you just needed to let a little bit of that air out. So you let a little small air bubble right out to the surface. And then you felt better for another 10 seconds or so. Now, there you are down there, and you finally decide that death is not better than winning this game. So you blow out the rest of the air, and you come up to the surface, and you're hoping that your opponent was already on the deck toweling himself off. Well, that experience of holding your breath is a perfect example of what I want to talk about during this session. We have somehow become a nation of breath holders. Somehow, over the ages, it became more normal to hold your breath when you speak instead of allowing a strong, unobstructed amount of air to come sailing out freely. As a matter of fact, breathing in general is pretty much taken for granted in our society. But study yoga or meditation or martial arts, and you'll find that there's a great deal of importance surrounding the concept of proper breathing. And as I'll show you in this session, breathing, it just can't be taken for granted anymore. In order to create a level of communication that possesses authority, clarity, and conviction, we will desperately need to master the power of breathing. I also wanted to mention that when you practice these breathing exercises that I'm going to be giving you in this session, it's okay to do them wherever you are, your car, your home, on a boat. If you're the type of person who concentrates much better in a quiet, friendly place without so many distractions, like I am, by all means, just find that place. But if you're on the run, it's still okay to practice the exercises. Also, don't worry about breathing being such a technical or difficult thing to master. It's very easy. It's as simple as breathing in and breathing out, once you know the secrets. And the first secret is, only talk when there's a strong stream of breath coming out of your mouth. Well, it sounds kind of obvious, but many people continue to speak when they've sputtered out of air. And the result is a gravelly, creaky sound that's not only unattractive, but also hard on the vocal cords. More significantly, failing to let your words ride out on that cushion of air somehow undermines your ability to affect listeners on a feeling level. When air runs out, so does your ability to create a full range of emotions. You sound dull, distant, weak, even disinterested to your listeners. There are basically two main types of breathing techniques, one that works and one that really hinders your ability to get air in and out of the body. Take a big, deep breath and be conscious of what your chest and your shoulders are doing. When you took air in, did you raise your shoulders up and puff out your chest? If you did, this is called accessory breathing, and that's the way to get the least amount of air in and out of your body. It also gives you the least amount of control of what to do with that air. And controlling the air is a very important part of what we do because it allows us the ability to create that perfect bed of air for the words to just simply ride out of the mouth on. Go ahead. I want you to do this. Raise your shoulders way up to your ears and hold them there. Come on. Raise your shoulders all the way up to your ears. Keep them up. Keep them there. That doesn't feel very comfortable, does it? So when you spend all day and night raising your chest and shoulders when you breathe, you're just begging for tension in your neck. I'm not interested in having any tension anywhere. Tension in your neck moves to your jaw, then it moves to your voice, and pretty soon there's little bits of tension gathering all over the body, planning to cause any mischief that they can. Okay, lower your shoulders back down. The second type of breathing is called diaphragmatic breathing. And it's extremely important that we relearn how to do it. I say relearn because there was indeed a time in your childhood when you were an expert at diaphragmatic breathing, when you were a little baby. Place your hand on your belly button and take a deep breath in. Pretend that you have that balloon in your stomach. As you inhale, just fill up your stomach with air. Remember that you have to learn to breathe in with your nose. There are these little filters inside of your nose called turbinates. When air goes through the turbinates, they actually moisten the air so that when the air passes through them and gets to the vocal cords, it's moister air, and the vocal cords like that. The more moistened air is easier on the vocal cords, and it doesn't dry them out as much. Okay, take a big breath in with your mouth open. Do you feel how that air makes the back part of your throat all dry? It's really important to start being aware of whether or not you're breathing with your nose or whether you're breathing with your mouth. Do you usually wake up with a dry throat? Does it take you more than a few minutes to lose that frog in my throat morning sound? If so, you may really be a mouth breather. You can get used to breathing in through your nose. Just start by making sure that your mouth is closed when you take the breath in. The air's got to get in somehow. If your mouth is closed, it has to get in through your nose. Some people feel that they can't get a big enough breath in through their nose because one nostril or another is clogged. Well, my friends, welcome to the real world. In all my years of teaching, I have perhaps seen 3 or 4 clients that could actually take air in through both nostrils at the same time without one being more blocked up. Most people are in the same boat that you're in. Don't think that just because your nose is a bit stuffy that you can't get enough air in. Great breathing is not about guzzling in huge amounts. It's more like a great waiter, a glass of water, and a fancy restaurant. Let me explain. You start the meal with a full glass of water and all is lovely in the world. During the meal, you drink from that glass a little bit at a time. If the waiter is doing his job, there's always plenty of water in your glass. Whenever he notices that you've had some to drink, he pours more in to make sure that the glass is always full. Well, breathing is just like that. You breathe in, you start to speak, use up whatever amounts of air that you need to get through all the words, stop, and you take another breath. My feeling is that most people don't take enough breaths altogether. It's like there's some kind of contest going on where you win if you get the most words to come out on each breath and you never take another breath and you just get 1 million words on the same one. When did it become such a bad thing to breathe? Surely your audience is not going to fault you for taking air in. After all, what do they want? A great communicator or a great pearl diver? My recommendation here is to learn to breathe more. It'll help us get the sounds we want, along with actually changing your physiology so that we become more relaxed and never destroyed by nervousness and stage fright. Some people feel they need to completely get all of the air out before they take another breath in. This is just not the way that the lungs work. There's always air in the lungs. Even hours after you die, well, there's still air in there. So just like the example of the water glass and the waiter, take a breath, speak, and let the words ride out in a nice solid bed of air. Then, before you run out, stop. Take another breath, and then let the words roll out again. Great speaking happens when the right amount of air meets the right amount of vocal cord vibration. Whenever that balance is off, the sound of your voice suffers the consequences. Let me explain how that really works. Now, the job of the cords is simply to stop the air from coming through. Let's try something now. Make a peace sign with your hand, but face the palm towards you, and then bring it very close to your lips. Now, blow air easily right through the center space in between your 2 fingers. No problem. Now, that's basically what happens when the cords are completely open. The air just goes right sailing through. Okay, now close your fingers together and now blow again. Well, you see that the air is now blocked by your fingers? Okay, that's basically the position of the cords being closed. So sound is created when air comes up to the cords and basically tries to push its way through. So here comes the air, gets to the cords. I'm going to get through. And the cords say, no, you're not. And the air says, I'm going to make it through. But you know who always loses? The cords always lose. So the air poof, comes right through the cords. And then as soon as the air comes through the cords, the vocal cords say, oh, we're fine again. And they close back up. Even though the cords desperately try to stop the air from passing, they never win for any long periods of time. Those little air bursts that make it through, they create the sound we speak. This opening and the closing of the cords that I just described, well, that happens anywhere from 200 to 2,000 times a second. When people come up to me and say that they're always worried about their voices, that they might crack or some funny sound might come out, I tell them just how lucky they really are. When you think about it, 2,000 times a second, something could go wrong with your vocal cords. Even when you're in perfect health, and most of the time, nothing does go wrong. So, we're actually quite lucky. My desire is that you will learn to be an expert at diaphragmatic breathing. It'll give you the perfect way to bring air in and out of the body. This skill is extremely important for the whole communication picture. Great diaphragmatic breathing is like an accelerator pedal on the car. You want the car to go fast? You simply push the pedal down towards the floor. If you push the pedal down fast, the car responds by immediately going faster. If you want the car to go slow, all you have to do is slowly press the accelerator down, just a little bit at a time. And so it goes with diaphragmatic breathing. When you want the air to come out fast, you simply bring your stomach in fast. When you want the air to come out slow, you just let your stomach come in slower, slower. If you can control the speed at which air exits your body, you also have control over the words you speak. After all, as I've said before, the words are simply writing out on that nice, solid bed of air that you create. Aside from raising your chest when you breathe, the number one problem that blocks the perfect diaphragmatic breathing is tension at the top part of your stomach. As a matter of fact, this kind of tension can completely make it impossible to access all of the higher notes in your vocal range also. That locking type of pressure in your stomach is actually the root of a whole host of evils. For one thing, as soon as you tighten that top part of your stomach, you're basically holding your breath. So why would anyone want to speak and hold their breath at the same time? That just totally baffles me. Some people might think that if you hold your breath when you speak, you could make the sentences longer and get more words out. But that's just silly. You're going to have to take a million breaths anyways. The idea that you should try to hold back the air just to avoid excess breathing is pointless. The goal is to breathe in and let the air ride out completely unobstructed and free of stomach tension. Think of an accordion. To play it, you first need to separate your hands. This takes air into the accordion. Then, to make music, you have to bring the sides back in together. When you stop that inward motion, the sound stops. And that's exactly what happens in breathing. As soon as you remain still and stop the stomach area from coming back in, the sound dies out. From now on, simply imagine that you have an accordion in your tummy. And when you breathe in through your nose, that accordion gets bigger. Then, if you truly learn to let your stomach come in as the words come out, you will most certainly be on your way to speaking with authority, clarity, and conviction. Airflow is a huge part of the real vocal power. A lot of people, especially women, say to me that they cannot breathe this way because they feel uncomfortable letting their stomach come out. They don't want to look fat, overweight. What I do is I explain that the audience is in front of you. The audience is not to the side of you. And if I was standing in front of you and I raised my chest and shoulders all the way up to my ears every time I breathe, and then let my chest and shoulders come back down, that would be a big noticeable movement from the audience. But when I breathe with my stomach and you're in front of me, it doesn't look like I'm getting any heavier because that's not the angle where my size seems to change. You never see it. You almost think the person isn't breathing because you're so used to watching people raise their chest and shoulders and do accessory breathing. The hardest case are dancers. I have dancers in there that, in order to keep a high center of gravity so that their turns work, they really have been taught to hold their stomachs tight. But you have to remember there's a difference between runway modeling and dancing and speaking. And when you're speaking, you need to let your stomach come out so that the words can ride out on an unobstructed stream of air. It sounds beautiful, and no one is actually even noticing your stomach moving so far out. Also, I'm not asking you to puff out like a blowfish. Nobody said this is the last breath you're going to take, so fill up your stomach until you're about ready to explode. You can take a breath that allows your stomach to come out to a nice relaxed position and then come back into its normal state. I want to move into doing some exercises now for breathing. I want to emphasize that once you understand and master the principles of diaphragmatic breathing, it will have an absolute direct correlation to your communication, to what you're doing in your daily lives, in your business meetings, and in your personal communications. But before any of that can happen, and before I can make drastic changes in the way that you sound, I've got to get the fuel in the engine. The car's not going to work if I don't have enough fuel in the engine. So think of learning diaphragmatic breathing as filling up the car with high-octane fuel that we're going to use later on. Also, I want to remind you that you can do these exercises anywhere, in the car, at home, wherever you feel comfortable. The first exercise we're going to try is called the slow leak. You're going to take breath in through your nose, as always. Fill up your tummy with air, and then I want you to, with your teeth closed together, just let a small amount of air come out. The goal here is to see how long you can hold the air in with just letting a little tiny bit of air out, along with keeping your stomach coming in. Remember that you can keep your hand on your stomach while you're doing this slow leak so that you can really monitor that your stomach is coming in nice and slowly. Let me do it again. Fill up my stomach with air. Close my teeth. Now, you don't have to hold it that long, but practice until you can get used to holding it longer and longer. Now, remember, the whole time that you're doing this, the only way it's effective is if your stomach is still coming in. I'm not asking you to keep your stomach tight and stop the air from coming out. I'm asking you to let a little bit of air come out while your stomach is coming in with no pressure. Play around with it. The next exercise I call the birthday candle. You're going to take a breath through your nose, fill up your tummy, and then pretend that there's a birthday cake in front of you, and you just have to blow out one candle at a time. One of the things that might help you with this birthday candle exercise is to have your hands on your stomach so that you can really feel when the air is escaping a little burst at a time. It sounds and feels like this. But when you do that, as you allow that single bit of air to come out, again, be conscious of what is happening to your stomach. As I went, my stomach came in just a little bit and then stopped. My stomach came in just a little bit and stopped. So if I do this, it's all on one breath. I'm not taking another breath. I'm going to go all the way through and see how many candles I can blow out on that one breath. I'm blowing a little burst out. I'm letting my stomach come in a little tiny bit and then stop. Little tiny bit and then stop. Let's try it again. Once again, the goal here is to not create tension in your stomach. When your stomach comes in a little bit, you relax. When your stomach comes in again, you relax. Play around with it and see how well you do. The third exercise I call air to finger. Remember how I had you do that closed peace sign before and put your fingers really close to your mouth? I want to do that again, and I want to get used to how much air I can make hit my fingers. So the guidebook has given you some specific sentences to repeat, and you can repeat these after me. The goal, again, is when you're saying these lines, to feel a huge amount of air come to your fingers. If you just blew air at your fingers, can you feel how much air is hitting them? Do it again. Lots of air. And it's a solid stream of air, right? It's not going. It's a solid stream. That's what I want it to feel like when you're saying the words, when you're saying the sentences. Here's the first sentence. I need to connect all of my words together. Listen again. I need to connect all of my words together. Notice I'm not going, I need to connect all the words together. Just trying to get a lot of air at my finger. I have to also keep a thick, strong sound. I need to connect all of my words together. You should feel an unobstructed amount of air hitting your fingers all the way through that sentence. You try it. Let's try the next line. I have to feel a lot of air hit my fingers. I have to feel a lot of air hit my fingers. Go ahead and try it. And remember, bring your stomach in the whole time that you're saying the line. Okay, another line. I don't want to send out little air bursts. I don't want to send out little air bursts. Breathe in through your nose, fill up your tummy. As you're speaking this line, your stomach comes back into its normal position and lots of air hits your fingers. I don't want to send out little air bursts. Try it. Okay, next line. When I speak, my stomach needs to be coming in. When I speak, my stomach needs to be coming in. Go for it. And the last line. I am like the sides of a very expensive accordion. I am like the sides of a very expensive accordion. Great. You don't have to be stuck with my sentences. You can use any sentences you want. The goal here is to try to tie the three things together. Breathe in through your nose, filling up your tummy. Speak, let your stomach fall back into its normal position, and let lots of air come out. With those three things, you're going to be a master at diaphragmatic breathing in no time at all. Before I let you go, remember that the more you practice these exercises, the better you're going to get. This session might have seemed a little technical, but believe me, with all of the stars that I've taught, nobody really wanted to concentrate on breathing, but it remains as the foundation for all of the other blocks we're going to build. And just remember, the more you practice, the easier it's going to get, and it will lead itself from technical into powerful, beautiful communication techniques.